Now I'm going to read several scriptures and speak a little on each one as we consider the theme. I guess it's a theme, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read them in order, and you don't have to turn them if you don't want to. I'm going to read them in order as they occur. Now the first reading is in Luke 22 on verse number 20. I'll read verse 19 to link with it. Luke 22, verse 19 and 20. I see some of you are turning, so I will go slowly so you can find it. Verse 19, Luke 22, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Romans chapter 5. Verse 9, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Ephesians chapter 2. And verse number 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Colossians chapter 1. And verse 20, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." In Hebrews chapter 9, we'll read three scriptures in this book. Chapter 9, verse 22. "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." Chapter 10 and verse number 19. "Having therefore, brethren, a boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." And chapter 13 and verse 12. "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people by his own blood, suffered without the gate." 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 18, "Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." 1 John chapter 1. And verse number 7, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Two more scriptures, both found in Revelation, the first one, chapter 1. And verse number 5, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." And the final verse, chapter 12 and verse number 11. "And And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And God will bless the reading of his precious word this evening. There was a certain man I read about, a true story, remarkable and true story of a man who lived on the Malabar coast. And he was a man very troubled about his sin. He had a conscience and a burden. And he was a religious man, and he went to the priests of this religion, and he shared this with them, and he asked them, how can I get rid of the guilt of my sin? They said, there's only one way for you to get rid of your sin in this religion. As I said, it's a remarkable but true story. They took his sandals, they put nails up through his sandals, and they sufficiently blunted the nails. Now strap the sandals on your feet, and now you walk 480 miles. You may stop when the blood is much for you and the pain, and you may rest your feet, but you must finish 480 miles. At the end of that, you will have peace. You will have no guilt, and you'll be free from that feeling, that burden of sin. He was in earnest, and so he set off on his journey. I'm not sure how far along the journey he was, but at one point he's sitting down under a tree, took his sandals off, they were bloody, his feet were bloody, but he was determined to be free of the guilt of sin. Unknown to him, the tree underneath which he sat, there was a very sacred tree. A missionary came there every Lord's Day, and many gathered in the field to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he saw these people coming, these villagers from far, coming to the field, filling up the field, and he wondered why they were doing that. He sat silently and watched. The missionary came with his Bible, saw the man sitting there. He said nothing to him, but he began to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And amazingly so, the two scriptures that he had chosen for that particular message was Revelation 1:5, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And then 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, he knew all about blood, looking down at his bloody feet. And he listened to that gospel message and the simplicity of coming to Christ, believing on Christ, being forgiven and that guilt removed. And he believed on Christ, stood up, took his sandals, he flung them in the air, and he said, that's what I want, that's what I want. And that's what he got, forgiveness of his sins. He went back to the priests of his religion, and he threw the bloody sandals down at their feet, and he said, I'll tell you now how one can be forgiven all their sins. It's not by walking anywhere, but by faith coming to the cross of Christ, the blood. That's when our journey began as God's people, when we came to Christ, maybe not knowing anything about the blood, but we know why we came. We needed salvation. We came to the end of ourselves. The revelation of ourselves was given to us. We are sinful men and women. It's a revelation from God, you know. Job had the revelation. He said, my eyes have seen the King. Wherefore I abhor myself in dust and ashes. It's a marvelous place to get to. I abhor myself. There was a man who came to a gospel meeting in Summerside, Prince Edward Island, on the far east of Canada. He came up from Charlottetown to Summerside, an hour and a half drive. He was from British Columbia. He was only there for a week. I think it was his girlfriend he was going to see. He came in and sat down. Somebody suggested he go to the week of gospel meetings. I'd just begun. I preached from Sunday to Friday. He left in tears, this young man, about 22 years old. He went outside, passed me outside. I watched him go. A brother went out and talked to him. When the meeting was all over, he came back in, and he stood with his brother who had driven him up. And I looked at him, and I just said to him, you know, you can't push anybody. We can't win souls that way. I just said to him, you know, if you'd like to talk to me, I'd be delighted to talk to you. He said, thank you, and he left. On Wednesday night, he reappeared. I watched him come in the building, and he sat down. His name was Keith. After the meeting was over, he came straight for me. He had tears in his eyes, and he said, may I talk with you? I said, well, certainly, yes. And we went to a room, and as I'm pulling the chair over up my chair, I gave him a seat. He spoke to me as I was pulling the chair over. You know what he said to me? I don't like myself very much. And I knew in my heart of hearts, I said, I'm talking now to a man who is very close to heaven. He doesn't like himself very much. He wanted to be a new man, and a new man he became within 10 minutes. It was very easy and simple. They show him verses. He became a new creation in Christ. The revelation was given to him. He didn't like himself very much. It's a great place to be. Very good place to be, isn't it? Yes? Psalm 32, thy hand was heavy upon me. I don't like myself very much. My salvation, I can remember looking into the mirror, and I did not like the man in the mirror very much. Hence, I was born again and saved and washed in the blood of Christ. The blood. All through the Old Testament, the blood, the blood, the blood. Yes? All pointing forward to the blood of the Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, the blood is mentioned 3 times more than the cross. The blood is mentioned 5 times more than the death of Christ. It's very prominent also in the New Testament, the blood of Christ. Now, the first thing the blood is a bond. It's his bond. Remembering our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's Supper, at the institution of it, he said, likewise also the cup. After supper, this is what he said, this cup is a New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. I think that's the first time the Lord Jesus Christ made reference to his blood, maybe the only time. I wonder what the disciples were thinking when he said that. Blood. I mean, blood speaks of violence, doesn't it? A violent death. And that's what he suffered, a death of violence. We have the cup and the loaf separated one from another as the blood separated from the body. And he said the cup, not the contents of the cup, the cup, the liquid in the cup, the New Testament of my blood. They used wine in the early New Testament. We use wine in my home assembly, whether it's grape juice, wine. Over in Kenya, it's Coca-Cola. Down in Guyana, it's coconut juice. It's always the cup, not the contents. That's important. What it symbolizes is the bond to us. It's a binding engagement. Like a man will say, my word is my bond. This was his bond to us, my blood. My blood will be shed on the cross. Precious blood. The word testament means unconditional covenant, promise made by God to us. The blood of the everlasting covenant. Hebrews 13 and 20. The bond to Noah was the rainbow. First rainbow. It never rained before. If it had rained before, then what would be the significance of the rainbow to Noah? I've seen those 100 times, 1,000 times. The mist came up from the ground. Something new was going to happen. Noah told them, rain. And they laughed at him and mocked him. Something new is going to happen. Never happened before. That's the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to the air to call home his people. I will build my church. When that rain started falling, I sometimes try and imagine what that must have been like for those poor people in the dark. They didn't listen to him preaching to them about the rain. And when the rain began to come, it was too late for them now because it says God shut him in. But the bond was the rainbow. I will never flood the earth again and destroy every living thing. His bond to Moses was the circumcision, and it was to the children of Israel the Sabbath day, and to us the bond is the blood, the cup, the bond. Now we've been bought with the blood. 1 Peter 1:18-19, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. The very thing men and women sell their souls for today. Silver and gold to have wealth. We're not redeemed with silver and gold. Something far more precious than that. The precious blood of Christ is of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The word redeemed means to release by payment of a ransom. Payment made for the release of a prisoner. America is called, I believe, the land of the free. But the only ones free in the USA are those who know Christ as their Savior. We are the only ones who know what freedom is. Freedom from sin's power, Satan's power, the power of myself, my passions, and so on, and even the power of this world. There's a power over a people. We have been redeemed. We've been set free with blood. And it's interesting, not silver and gold. In Jeremiah chapter 38, the lovely story of Jeremiah, I love the story anyways, down in the pit. It's the gospel. The gospel is all through the Old Testament, you know. Christ is full of Christ, and also is the gospel all through the Old Testament. And in Jeremiah 38, Jeremiah is in a pit, and he's going to die in the pit. He's sinking in the mire, a picture of a sinner sinking in sin. And a man named Ebed-Melech, who's not even a Jew, he's from Ethiopia. He appears on the scene, he pleads to the king on behalf of Jeremiah, and the king says to him, you may release him, and gave him instructions to follow. So he went into the king's palace, Ebed-Melech did, and it says, under the treasury. Well, in the treasury was silver and gold. Under the treasury, never mind the treasury. What did he find under the treasury? Old cast clouts, old rotten rags. Old. Cast clouts are pieces of cloth left over, you ladies probably know, making a dress or blanket or a quilt. Pieces of cloth that have no value, and they're old. And the rags are also old. Why is that significant? Twice it's mentioned in the chapter. Old cast clouts, old rotten rags. There's a verse in the Micah chapter 5, and it says, the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. It's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was delivered, Jeremiah, through the old cast clouts and old rotten rags. These things, why they kept them, I have no idea. They weren't of any value at all. His salvation came from things considered of no value at all. Our salvation came from a man. This world considered no value in him, away with him. As a matter of fact, give us Barabbas the murderer, we'll take him over Christ. And our salvation came from the man of old and days of everlasting, considered of no value. And why did the king give him 30 men? Not 35 men, not 45 or 40, because the Lord Jesus Christ was sold for 30 pieces of silver. You see the gospel so plainly in Jeremiah chapter 38. That's the price of a female slave, by the way. That's how worthless they thought he was. Not even the price of a slave, a male slave. We've been bought with the blood. We've been brought with the blood, brought nigh to God. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, brought near by the blood of Christ. In Proverbs 18:24, it says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And now we read his words in John 20:12, what he said to Mary Magdalene. Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren. That's an amazing expression, is it not? My brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. We have been brought so very near to our God, we couldn't be any more near than we are right now. We're in Christ, sitting at the right hand of God. We are in Christ. The bond, the blood, bought with the blood, and we've been brought near unto God by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are four great blessings of the blood. Lots more blessings. I've only chosen a few verses out of all the ones that's mentioned in the Bible. We've been justified by the blood, Romans 5 and 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What does the word justified mean? To set forth as righteous, to free a person from their guilt, and to represent him as righteous, to be justified. How must the defendant feel when the judge says, I find the defendant not guilty? You are a free man, sir. You may walk out of the courtroom now. What a joyful man or woman they would be indeed. We have been declared innocent by God, not guilty, justified by the blood of Christ, made righteous. The robe of righteousness, Isaiah said how much he greatly rejoiced in the knowledge he was covered with the robe of righteousness, Isaiah 61 and 10. Notice what he said, somebody covered me. I didn't cover myself. Adam and Eve didn't put those garments on themselves. God put them on them. The prodigal son, he didn't put a garment on him, the best robe. The father said, you servants, put the robe on him. It's righteousness that we cannot attain ourselves. It is given to us by God. The robe of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, justified. That's what the word means. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? During the war, there was a Nazi officer, World War II, who was captured by the British and wounded in the makeshift hospital. The doctor saw him and said to him, sir, you need a blood transfusion. He was a proud man, this Nazi officer. And he said to him, will it be British blood? Well, the doctor was beginning to see through the man now. He said, well, yes, indeed, it will be good British blood. And if you don't take it, you'll die, sir. And the man said, I would rather die than take British blood. And die he did. And those who refuse to humble themselves as guilty sinners, admitting to God exactly what they are, nothing but a sinful man, sinful woman, Lord, I'm not worthy of heaven, I'm worthy of hell. Those who refuse in their pride to humble themselves before God, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Justified, we've been sanctified by the blood. Delivered from uncleanness. Hebrews 13:12. Put into a state corresponding to the nature of God. We have the very nature of God Almighty in us. That's why we can enjoy fellowship with him and understand the word of God. And also we have peace with God through the blood, and having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. What does the word reconciled mean anyway? To change from one state into another. To so put away all hostility, all hatred, all ill will, so that friendship follows. We are friends with God now. We were enemies of God. In the parable in the Gospel of Luke, they said, we will not have this man reign over us. That's a message to this one. But they said this first. We hate him. And that's the truth. God is very gracious, I believe, to mankind, because we're not aware of that. That we hate God, but we do. Deep down in the hearts of unregenerate man, hatred for God. I do believe that's a gnashing of teeth in Gehenna, the lake of fire. Weeping, wailing, we understand. Gnashing of teeth is anger. And they're going to be angry with God because I don't deserve to be here in this place. And they hate him. How marvelous that we have love. All of us have a measure of love if we're saved in our hearts for our Savior. We love him because he first loved us. Peace, we have blessed peace with God. There was a young man dying in the hospital. A few days to live. A clergyman came in walking around and saw him. He was a clergyman with a congregation and a pulpit, knowledge of the Bible, theology, but no knowledge of his need of a Savior, that he was sinful. He saw the mother standing there, and he asked a question of the mother, a common question: has he made his peace with God? She said, "No, sir." He said, "Madam, don't you understand what I'm asking you? Your son's going to die, obviously, soon. Has he made his peace with God?" And again, she calmly said, "No, sir." He said, "What do you mean? What do you mean, madam?" She quoted him a verse, Romans 5:1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." She said, "You see, sir, there's no peace for my son to make. Jesus Christ, his Savior, made peace at the cross for my son." He doesn't pray for peace. He praises God that he has peace with God. Hence, we also have the peace of God. And then fourthly, the great blessing of remission or forgiveness of sins. Without shedding of blood, Hebrews 9:22, is no remission or no forgiveness. What does the word remission mean? A setting free. The forgiveness of sins, total remission is the word, and forgiveness excluding all idea of punishment. Excluding all idea of punishment. Our sins will never be judged for our sins. Thank God Jesus Christ was judged in our place at the cross by his Father. There was a woman in Dublin, Ireland. She was like the woman who came into the Pharisee's house overcome with love for her Savior because all her many sins were washed away. And she wept at his feet. And so many tears flowed. She washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. And the Pharisee sitting there looking at this scene, and he's saying to himself, "He's supposed to be a prophet. I don't believe he is, because he should know this woman." At the beginning of that portion, it says she was a known sinner in the city. An immoral woman was she. But she was forgiven. A woman in Dublin with a similar past for many, many years got saved, born again, sins washed away. She was a woman who rejoiced, forgiven much, loving much, and she loved him so, and told everybody she met about him as she could. And one day a lady, very self-righteous lady, met her in the street. And she said, "Tell me something. Doesn't it bother you what you used to be, all the things you did in your past? Doesn't it bother you?" She said, "Madam, you don't know the half of it. You don't know half the badness that was in me and my sins. But let me quote a verse to you, madam. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now you tell me, madam, how many sins are left after that?" And the woman walked away in silence in her self-righteousness. It doesn't matter about our past. We forget those things that are behind. We are new creation in Christ, and all things have become new in our lives. And we will be bold in our witness for our blessed Savior. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you," Exodus chapter 12. "For even Christ, our Passover," 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, "is sacrificed for us." A father, after supper one evening, read Exodus 12 to his children, and he had a question for them afterward. He said, "Why did the destroyer pass the blood-sprinkled door of the Israelites?" And one of his daughters quickly responded, "Because death had been there before. That's the answer, isn't it? Death has been there before. He was judged in my place. He died in my place. Death has been there before. And now we are sheltered and with the blood of Christ, cleansing us from all sin. Now, we have been bathed in the blood. This is a subject I know. I have many children's meetings that I have had for 33 years now, and this is something I never talk to the children about, the blood. The little six-year-old sitting there, are you washed in the blood? What's going through his mind, you know? Washing in blood, it might ruin him for the rest of his life, you know? Christian, oh yeah, you guys wash in blood. Well, I don't mention it to the children. But we can enjoy this subject ourselves tonight because we know it's all spiritual. And unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The word washed means to bathe, and it's used only of the whole body. The body. The one-time washing. That's what he said in John 13, speaking to Peter. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed, same word, bathed, needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean, without blemish, spotless, clean every whit. One time, washed in the blood, and nevermore. Sins are all gone. All my sins are gone. But the second word, wash, is a different word, you see. To wash some part of the body, as the face, hands, or feet. That's a different word. He said to Peter, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. What is he talking about? He's talking about 1 John chapter 1. And that is a fellowship chapter. I can't have any part with God. I get in Psalm 51, wash me and I shall be clean. 1 John chapter 1, the basis of our fellowship is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The washing, daily we defile ourselves in this world. We must confess, if any man say, I sin not, he is a liar, and the truth isn't in him. I need to go daily to my blessed Lord and confess unto him my sins. And it says he is faithful, reliable. I can count on God. He'll forgive me, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And it says justly, just. How can he justly do that day after day? How can fellowship be maintained with my God day after day? It is the blood. It is verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Chapter 2 and verse 1, he's my advocate with the Father. He pleads the blood at the right hand of his Father. So the basis of our fellowship is the blood. Bathed in the blood. The basis of fellowship is the blood. Fullness of joy is the result of fellowship. That's what John said. I'm writing these things unto you that your joy may be full. That is God's desire for all of his people, that we have fullness of joy and it's seen on my countenance in this life, reflecting Christ. That they might desire, as Paul said, I want to provoke Israel. I want to provoke them. That they might want what I have and see in me, and it's him in me, the fullness of joy. And we have boldness through the blood. Hebrews 10:19, there having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We couldn't even draw near to God were it not for the blood. We see the merits of his blood. We are complete in him because of his blood. Boldness is the speaking of all one thinks, freedom and frankness of speaking. Fearlessly and bravely, we speak to God. Isn't that an amazing thing? This almighty, holy God in heaven, I may draw near unto him at any time, and he listens to me, and he answers my prayer, all because of the blood, the boldness we have. We should always come to him, never put it off praying to God. And then finally, the battle. The battle we endure daily is spiritual wickedness in high place, wicked spirits in the heavenlies. A Christian sometimes might think, you know, I'm going to stop being a mediocre Christian, you know. I'm going to take my Christian life seriously. Yes. And when he or she begins to do that, And they get a prayer closet, as God said in Matthew 7. A natural part of my life is the prayer closet when I'm all alone with God. Shut the door. It's in secret. Nobody can hear me. They can't hear me weeping before Him. They can't hear me pouring out my heart like water before Him. And if I want to sing, I shall sing. Even if I can't sing like our brother Craig here, he loves our singing. I sing. And it doesn't matter to me who hears me now, because I'm all alone in my prayer closet. And I'm going to encourage you, if you haven't got one, it's never too late to start. And that is where we get to know our God, when I'm alone with God. Where did David get all that power and fearlessness and courage? He's all alone with God, with the sheep in the pasture. Elijah, fearless and mighty Elijah, stood up to Ahab the king. Where did he come from anyway? I know where he came from. He came from a prayer closet this man had with God, and God equipped him. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John spent 30 years in the wilderness with God all alone. That's where he got his power from. That's how he knew his God, an intimacy with God. 30 years in the wilderness for 6 months service. It's most important, brethren, that we spend time alone, getting to know my God. They overcame him. Who's him? Verse 9, the great dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. That's how they overcame him. The word is to be victorious, to come off the victor, and to conquer. Greater is he that is in us and he that is in the world than it is the blood. Only by the blood. They overcame him by the blood. The young men, 1 John 2 and 13, I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. The battle is won by the blood. He pleads the blood at the right hand of the Father. My conscience is now clear, purged by the blood. The stain of sin is gone by the blood. I have peace with God because of the blood. Boldness to pray at any time because of the blood. And we win the battle through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Martin Luther, I'm sure, he had battles with the devil. In his writings, we read of them, and no wonder. He tore the Roman Catholic Church. He split it asunder when he discovered faith, not through works, but through faith in Christ. Faith alone will save a man or a woman. And Europe, the gospel through this man began to spread in Europe. Many battles with the devil. In one of his books, he tells of a dream he had, a very real dream, and the devil came to him in the dream with a big sheet of sins Martin Luther had committed. He said, Martin Luther, have a look at your sins now. You got to shake this man's faith. Have a look at all your sins. Martin Luther said, are they all my sins? And the devil said, hardly, hardly. Martin Luther said, can you bring me all my sins? All my sins? He said, yes, I certainly will. And the devil returned with sheet after sheet with sins he committed. And Martin Luther said, they're all my sins. And Satan triumphantly said, yes, they are. Martin Luther said, you take a pen, Satan, and you write across every page the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And he says he awoke. The devil fled. He awoke. It's through the blood we win the battle. So these are just some of the blessings we have through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless his word, his son, to our hearts this evening. Now, shall I close in prayer? Our gracious Father, in that worthy name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we would, Father, have boldness now. We would lift our hearts unto Thee and enter, Father, within the rent veil. And we thank Thee, Father, for the one at Thy side, Thy beautiful Son, who won the great victory on the cross for us, Father. We who believe, we thank Thee for Him, our great High Priest. He prays for us, intercedes for us, Father, and He, our Advocate with Thee. All these many blessings, Father, we thank Thee. He suffered in silence at the hands of His creation, and the blood flowed from that beautiful body down to the ground beneath the cross. We thank thee, Father, for what it symbolizes to us. We thank thee for all these blessings and many more we haven't even touched on, Father, because of the blood. We thank thee we've had this little time this evening to enjoy these beautiful hymns together that exalt thy Son. And we thank thee, Father, for the Word of God. And we thank you, Father, again for the blood, for the Lord's Day. And we ask thee now to part us with thy blessing in that worthy name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.